I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, some board members are here in person, and there may be others on the phone. Okay. When I call your name, please indicate if you're present. Benjamin Pelote. Jeff Natricka. Corin Ross.
Present.
Lucy Hitch.
Present.
Meredith Stone.
Present.
Robert Vineyard.
Present.
And I, of course, am present as well. We have a quorum, and we may proceed. And all those wishing to give testimony, would like to speak for or against an appeal, who are here physically present today, should sign in on the sheet that we have provided here at the podium. You have an opportunity to ask relevant material questions if you choose to do so. I suppose we don't have any notices or proclamations this morning. Approval of the minutes. Have the board members had an opportunity to review the minutes from April 27th, 2021?
Chairman, move that the minutes be accepted.
Second.
Any opposition? All right. Let me just do a roll call vote real quick to make sure we're good on that. Mr. Pelote? Ms. Ross?
Aye.
Ms. Hitch?
Aye.
Ms. Stone?
Aye.
Mr. Vineyard?
Aye.
And I vote aye. Mr. Watson, I think we have one matter on the agenda this morning.
Yes, sir. Good
morning. Make your presentation, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. On today's agenda, we do have a one item under new business. It's a variance request. Subject property is 5670 Ogeechee Road. The petitioner is requesting a variance from section 4-6.1 of the Chatham County Zoning Ordinance. This is a development standards section. In this section, and this variance is related to height of structures. In this section, the ordinance states that the height of a structure shall be a maximum of 36 feet. The applicant is requesting two variances for a proposed multifamily residential development at the subject property. And the two variances are a 9-foot variance to allow up to 45 feet in height in a portion of the development, and then a separate 14-foot variance to allow up to 50 feet in another portion of the development. And I'll go into here shortly exactly what where those requests relate to on the subject property. The property at 5670 Ogeechee Road is approximately 21 acres in size. It's on the west side of Ogeechee Road between Elk Road and Berwick Boulevard. This is a map highlighting the subject property. The development pattern adjacent to the subject property includes a self-storage facility, which is here. It also includes single-family residential houses, townhome development, and some retail. There's a existing single family detached residential development behind the subject property here, townhome development here. Along 17 primarily is commercial and retail uses that are all within the Berwick plan development area. As I mentioned, under the current zoning, the maximum height in the district is 36 feet. Because this is a multifamily building proposed for that purpose, 36 feet could accommodate it could accommodate up to 3 stories in height. It could not, however, accommodate a 4-story building. Staff did find, and you know, we're reviewing the Chatham County zoning ordinance right now, and one of the things that we're looking at is the current height regulation. It is the regulation that has always existed in the ordinance as it relates to height. Other ordinances that we've revised recently, we have increased height because there is a issue with opportunities to be architecturally creative within that height based on, you know, when you're creating a three-story building. One of the reasons that that height was established when the ordinance was written is because of fire codes at the time and the ability to protect those buildings with apparatus at that time. Those things have obviously changed with the requirement of sprinkled buildings, et cetera, and of course, different apparatus. This is a aerial map of the subject property. As you can see, it's undeveloped, and it's adjacent to another undeveloped tract here. But around it again is the self-storage facility here, single-family detached neighborhood, and a single-family townhome development on the southwest side. There have been other multifamily developments in the vicinity of this property in recent years. The other developments that I'll show you here in just a minute are a little further south of this property. The petitioner did provide an exhibit outlining the areas that the proposed height is requested for. And let me show you that. So, but before we go there, I will share with you some the context exhibits that the applicant provided. So this is looking at the subject property and the location of the proposed buildings. Did also want to talk about some existing buffers and rights of way between the subject property and the adjacent single family residence that you can see on the screen. There is a existing 60-foot drainage right of way between the property and the subject, between the subject property and the residential neighborhood. Also, there is a required 25-foot buffer that the applicant will have to establish on their side. In addition to that, there is an existing 20-foot buffer behind the properties on the single-family residential side. So there's already essentially about 105-foot area that will remain undisturbed between the proposed development and the subject property. I should mention also that this property does include This property is designated for multifamily residential already, so there's not a zoning action required here. They can build multifamily residential on this property today. The issue before you, though, is the request for the variance to the maximum permitted height. Also wanted to show you a view from the single family residential neighborhood toward the buffer that currently exists between it and the subject property. This gives you, you know, some impression of what that view is like today from the neighborhood toward the property.
Mr. Lotson, are there renderings?
The applicant has not provided to us prior to today's meeting, at least any building renderings or elevations of buildings, but their representative is here today who can talk about what their intent is as it relates to these buildings. And let's see. Mr. Chairman, I'll end there for now. I do have one more exhibit I'm going to queue up here that'll take a second to get to, but I'll be happy to answer any questions. Let me just say regarding the staff recommendation, we are recommending approval of the requested variances. We are recommending a condition also. We're recommending approval of the requested variance with the condition that no building exceeding 3 stories or 45 feet shall be closer than 150 feet from the property line of an existing single-family residential structure. And with that, I'll open it up for questions from the board.
Is staff aware of any other 4-story complexes that have been approved?
I am not aware of any that have come through this body for a variance. I will say that based on my conversations with members of the development community, these are likely going to become more common than they have been in the past due to a lot of the issue typically with apartment buildings in the past and exceeding 4 stories has been if you go to 4 stories and you're required to have elevators. So there's obviously additional costs associated with that. And I think the applicant's engineer can speak to that some today.
Okay.
But that is not, of the buildings that we've seen develop, particularly on Geechee Road corridor, the multifamily residential, they've typically been 3 stories. We have had a number of, I guess you'd say congregate care facilities that have been taller. But in the multifamily world, most of the buildings we've seen have been 3 stories. I think there's a lot of, one of the things that we considered as it relates to recommending approval of additional height is one of the things you can achieve with that is reducing the footprint. And we felt like that was an important consideration as well to reduce the overall impervious area, on a site by going vertical in a place where we think a little additional height might be appropriate.
Before we go to Mr. McCorkle, do any other board members have any questions of staff? Hearing none, Mr. McCorkle, you're here for the applicant.
See that, right? Okay. Good morning. My name is Robert McCorkle, law firm McCorkle & Johnson McCoy. Appreciate y'all's time this morning. I am here on behalf of Graycliff Capital, who's a developer of this project. They develop multifamily apartment complexes all over the Southeast, very experienced developer, building a quality product. The product, as Mrs. Ross was asking, and bear with me because I am not great using this thing. The product is roughly a 250-unit apartment complex. It's going to be a mixture of 1, 2, and 3 bedroom units. We'll also have a clubhouse and a pool. This is a rendering, a conceptual for the 4-story, and then this is a conceptual for the 3-story, just to give you some perspective of what the buildings will likely look like. It's gonna be a good development for the area. As many of y'all know, Ogeechee Road is a broad array of uses as you go down, and there are parts of it that are heavily industrial that have been there a long time. There are parts of it that are becoming more residential, particularly down here close to Berwick. This site is a uniquely shaped site, as you saw on the map. It is a bit of an L shape. It's got some jagged edges that create some buffers and some corners for us to make the design perhaps a little bit challenging. And the existing 36 feet also makes the design challenging. As mentioned by Marcus, it's almost impossible to build a three-story apartment complex in a 36-foot height without having a flat roof. And when you have a flat roof, it very much limits ceiling height, it very much limits architectural design, and it also very much limits the ability to kind of have creative architecture and have buildings that look good. By allowing 45 feet on part and 50 feet on part, it allows us to, as Marcus mentioned, shrink the building footprint, raise some ceiling heights to provide some better product, higher quality product, increases our green space, and also allows us to affordably provide buildings with elevators. Most of these 3-story projects that are built don't have elevators, they're 3-story walk-ups. And we have a lot of people in our community that can benefit from having elevators. And in order to make that product something that's really affordable, being able to build that four-story really allows that product and the cost of the elevator be baked into it so that you can provide elevators in your buildings. I also want to note on the height that we are subject and the surrounding properties are subject to Berwick covenants that apply to Berwick kind of as a whole. And in those covenants, the 50-foot height is permitted, even though it's not permitted in the zoning ordinance. We are not exceeding what the covenants are in the community. And those same covenants apply to the neighborhoods around us as well. And speaking of the neighborhoods around us, we're very conscious of the fact that there were neighbors around us. You can see in our request here, if you're looking at this picture, the green area is the area where we're requesting 45 feet, and the yellow tan area is where we're requesting the 50 feet. This was specifically done to buffer us from the single family residences that are behind us even further than is already buffered. Marcus mentioned there is going to be a 105-foot undisturbed buffer between us and the single family. That is a fair expanse of trees. If you look at the renderings that Thomas and Hutton provided, this is a photo showing an individual standing in the backyard of one of the single family residences, looking back across the trees. And you'll see we are talking about mature trees, view corridors looking from the right side of this photo where the single family is, and then showing the buffer that we're going to add to the already existing buffer. And then way over to the left, you will see the distance that will be created as we're proposing for our four-story buildings. So, and what this diagram is showing you is if we built a 36-foot tall building on the 25-foot buffer where we could, you would actually see more of that than you will see of the four-story building in the areas that we're proposing. And I'll go back to this, which shows these significant buffers both along the south and the west portion of our property. There is a townhome development in this area over here. We're designing a project to have the detention as well as to retain significant existing trees all around this area so that we will also have a buffer on that side. So in designing this project and making this variance request, we did not come and just ask for 50 feet. We didn't ask for just a four-story project over the whole project. We tried to design and anticipate concerns with regard to neighbors and limit our request so that our four-story buildings will only be in the center of the project, both away from our neighbors as well as away from Ogeechee Road. By doing this, as mentioned, it gives us architectural flexibility and allows us to provide a better product to our customers. Lastly, I do want to mention the staff report mentioned about fire service, and I think that is a correct statement. I've been up before y'all a lot of times asking for height variances over the years. The 36 feet all over Chatham County is a problem. Sounds like staff is working on that problem. The county's working on the problem. We did reach out to Tom Wolf, fire inspector for Chatham County, to confirm that the four-story buildings and the 50 feet was not an issue as it relates to fire protection. He did confirm to us via email that they had no concerns about the height of the building or the four stories, and that we would have to meet the fire codes when we construct the buildings, and that'll be fine by them. So in conclusion, we agree with staff's recommendation. We don't believe that this project as designed is going to have any detrimental effect on our neighbors. We think it'll be a great addition to the continued development of Ogeechee Road, and we support staff's recommendation. I do want to make note, Marcus used a word in his recommendation, existing, and I did ask him for that. And I think in the printed staff recommendation that y'all have, it says 150 feet from a single family residence or a single family lot. I did ask that we add the word existing in there. And the reason I asked that is because if you see in this picture, there is a square of land right here that is currently also zoned PUD-C. And I don't anticipate that that's going to be single family. I believe it's actually going to be a senior living facility or a commercial project. But in case someone came back like me and asked y'all or asked someone to rezone it or asked to put a single family residential there, it would obviously change our project if that were to be 150 feet from that piece of property. So I would ask that y'all would inject the word existing single family, which Marcus supports and recommended to y'all verbally. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions that y'all have.
Does anyone have any questions of Mr. McCorkle?
Just a couple of quick ones. In the center of your proposed development, it says two-story apartment garage. Is that a two-story garage, or is there going to be an apartment on top?
I think there's apartment on top, garage on the bottom, and those are the smallest buildings in the project. And as you see, we push those back to the line with the single family in the back.
Will pets be allowed in this building? And if so, will the property be fenced?
Yes, they will be allowed.
So there will be fencing to keep pets in or out around the entire property, the perimeter?
Both fenced pet area, pet play area.
That's not what I asked.
I do not know at this time. We haven't gotten to development plan issue first. We don't have a development plan.
I'm just saying, if I lived in the homes behind y'all, I would like to know that my pets couldn't get in to your property.
Sure.
And that your pets couldn't get out onto my property.
Understood.
I would like to know that.
Understood. Yeah.
It may not be a requirement. That's just what I'd like.
Well, in fact, it is. So as I mentioned earlier, the petitioner is required to provide a 25-foot buffer on their side of the property. Part of that buffer requirement includes a fence.
No, because we hadn't gotten to that part yet. Sorry.
You know me. I like a certain.
I understand.
With regard to the to the drainage right of way, is there a canal or some sort of ditch there?
I think there is an existing ditch there, isn't it? If it is, it's grown over. I don't know that.
Okay.
I don't know that it's actively being used, but the right of way exists.
You don't know if it's actively in use. I mean, well. All right. Now, with regard to the 25-foot buffer, are there any plans at this point to come in and thin that out? I've had some instances where developers have said, we're going to leave a buffer, and then they come in and just take out every immature tree and essentially negate the effect.
I'm going to let Ryan Thompson from Thompson Hutton address that one.
Thank you.
Good morning. Ryan Thompson, the landscape architect with Thomas Nutton.
Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do, yes, sir.
Thank you.
So, yes, sir, the actual, with this plan and with the height variance, we actually are confident we'll be able to provide a better buffer than we would be able to with just holding the 25 feet. I do believe the language of the buffer ordinance has some fence requirements, but with the exception of diseased and unhealthy plant material or invasive material, we're going to do our very best to keep the existing material in there, plus some on the outside. As was discussed, there's also one other thing I would point out. We've actually gone through and had an arborist assessment on the trees to look at the health of the trees. And in particular, the area where we're proposing, we knew there were some large hardwoods in there. We've been able to confirm that a lot of the health of large hardwoods are in the area where we are planning to preserve the buffer area. So
good. Any other questions from the panel?
Can you point where the parking is? This diagram is a little hard to interpret for parking. I see the garage, but I don't see anything else.
Lucy, I'm sorry. Would you repeat that? I didn't.
Yes, I asked him about parking. Maybe parking garage, I can see that, but I don't see areas of parking close to the buildings.
If I can expand this, I'm not sure. This is hand drawing, though, so, but you can see. It's hard to see in the pictures, but yes, we're not asking for a parking variance. We're going to have adequate parking on the site. You can see a lot of these areas where I'm moving my mouse right here. This is all parking, all of this area. And then the open spaces are in the middle. It's just difficult. It's difficult to see it in the pictures. Again, we're not at general development plan stage yet, so I don't have exact details, but we're satisfied that we will have adequate parking on the site.
Okay, and where do you enter the development? Is it only one entrance? I realize the comments are not complete, but.
I'm also going to let Ryan answer that one.
We are, let's see if I can zoom out a little bit on this. There will be one entrance from the point of coming here, but we are working with the adjacent property owners to provide basically the two points of access from two different sides. One will be 17 and one will be through this piece. So there'll be one main controlled entry point once we get to this point of the site.
Mr. Chairman, and Ms. Hitch, this is Marcus Lawson. One of the things that we will require during the development plan stage is a secondary access point for this property, either an emergency only access or a second primary access, but it will be a requirement of the general development plan.
Okay, good. That looks better to me knowing that.
Any other questions, Lucy, Meredith?
No questions.
Mr. Plute, any questions? All right.
Unbelievably not.
Is there anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Would you step, please step up. Have you signed in, ma'am?
No.
Okay. Step up if you would. And your name?
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Diane Brandon. I'm an adjacent resident, not that far from this development. I do want to address some concerns with growing
just
traffic.
Just a moment. May I swear you in, please?
Okay.
Just a moment. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, or help you God?
Thank you. I do.
Thank you, ma'am. Go
Got
ahead.
It. I do want to address the growing concern of traffic congestion on Ogeechee Road, okay? And it is a direct thoroughfare to Richmond Hill, as you well know, and all bedroom communities beyond that. I am concerned about the effect that building 200 and some 50 plus units would have on this corridor insofar as traffic congestion is concerned. You multiply each unit times two vehicles, you're going to get just a lot of cars piling in. I'm requesting reduced density for this particular development. I'm sorry, that's not what you want to hear. I get that. But there is a quality of life issue. I don't want Ogeechee Road to be a dumping ground for development, okay? And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. And it also has the potential of adversely affecting the character of the entire region when you allow variances of up to four stories. Okay, I really don't like that. There's a big difference in look and character and feel in the community between three stories and four stories. Somebody's got to say that. Okay, I know there's a lot of pressure otherwise, but it's got to be said. Also, you've got this development backing up to a lot of single story duplexes, two story development, and I just think it's totally out of character. Apartments, in my opinion, are the scourge of Savannah. They do not require skin in the game insofar as ownership is concerned, okay? That's my opinion, okay? And I do want to point out, I haven't heard barely anything about stormwater drainage. I want to know the size of your retention pond. How many gallons does that hold?
Ma'am. Please.
Yeah, how many gallons does your retention pond hold is the other thought. I'm going to point out to this group that 1 inch of rainwater, similar to what we just had, by the way, I had to swim practically to get down here. That's why I was a little late getting here. 1 inch of rainwater per hour on an impermeable surface like asphalt produces a quarter of a million gallons per 10 acres. Keep that in mind. And that's for each hour. That water's got to go somewhere. And a lot of it, as of late, has been going towards my property. I've had to go through epic flooding in recent years. The canal that they're talking about, that they're referring to, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's the Elk Road Development Canal, and that's woefully inadequate. Okay, so that needs to be considered Whenever you talk about drainage and development like this, please, please overbuild your stormwater abatement. Don't second guess it or undercut it or anything because of the consequences downstream to property owners like myself, okay? And last but not least, again, be wary of the precedent that you're setting with this. Think very carefully about how it's going to affect us for years and years ahead of time. And I'm going to encourage this group in general to look closer at LEED design in the future. If you're not already thinking in that direction, you need to be heading there. And that is, of course, leadership in environmental and energy design. The initials for that are LEED. And if does Chatham County even have LEED standards? I don't know. There have been some efforts about LEED design in the past, but I don't see it going on right now. And a lot of that has to do with a comprehensive stormwater retention plan on site, okay? And then also tougher standards for building construction materials, insulation, you know, windows, that sort of thing. Everything has to be energy efficient moving forward, in my opinion. So that's just, I think that's the way of the world, and you need to consider that. It's a higher cost for developing, I know, but then the energy savings that offset that are phenomenal if you do it properly. So anyway, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
That's okay. Hold on.
Yes,
hold on.
Sir.
There may be questions. Where do you live in relation to this project?
I'm off of the intersection of Dean Forest and Ogeechee Road is where I live.
Okay.
And again, coming into the Harmon Canal, we get massive flooding throughout that entire neighborhood. I mean, I've seen it firsthand. It's just been shocking. So, and I think it's a lot of the development upstream sending water our way, even though the county wastewater management team swears not. They did away with their floodgates years and years ago in our area. So there's no control over the directional flow of water, flood waters coming our way. Okay. So anyway, please take a very close look at the impact of stormwater runoff. In any project, particularly on that side of Ogeechee Road, it just seems to be a problem. So anyway, but thank you so much for your time. Well, I appreciate
before you
it.
Go, do we yeah. have any other questions of the witness from council, from the panel? Ms. Hitch, Ms. Stone?
Thank you.
No question.
Mr. McCorkle, would you address some of these concerns,
sure.
please?
Sure. Thank Ms. Brand for her thoughts and taking the time to come down here today. As far as traffic concern, US 17 is a four-lane highway in front of a property. Also, as mentioned, we're going to have a secondary access, which is ultimately going to take us out to the light. We don't anticipate having any traffic problems. There's going to be significant development on Ogeechee Road over the in the coming years, particularly for multifamily, probably in this area and as this area is redeveloped and expanded. But we don't anticipate our project causing any kind of traffic issue. Our property is zoned for apartments. We're not asking for a rezoning and what we're doing through this process. And then lastly, as far as stormwater detention and drainage and things are concerned, all of these things are site plan issues, not necessarily related to height, except that I will make the comment that having increased height actually is going to assist with our stormwater management because it increases our green space. When we have taller buildings, we can have less buildings with smaller footprints, as was mentioned by staff as part of the reason they recommended approval for this item, is because it helps increase the green space and help with the design of the project as a whole. And so we do believe that the singular issue we're here for today is actually a positive as it relates to stormwater runoff. But all of those issues will be addressed as is obvious by their presence here. Our client has already engaged Thomas Hutton there down the road of working on this, and I suspect the next thing that'll be coming forth out of their office will be a general development plan for the project. And again, we support staff's recommendation for approval.
Question. Would it be premature to ask what the service will be for the parking areas?
It would be anticipated to be curb and gutter with conventional asphalt, curb and gutter parking lot with asphalt.
which doesn't sound very permeable to me.
Well, I mean, we are, from I think what Robert was referring to is the fact that we are reducing our overall footprint of, if we're not four stories, the 252 units are still allowed on the site. We have, you know, you would be able to accommodate them on the site. We just have to add another building, expand the parking even further, have more area dedicated to just getting to the buildings themselves.
I'm sorry, I'm just wondering if there's any way to have some permeable surface area in the parking, like pavers or, you know, periodic strips of gravel, something that helps with drainage?
There may be at some point, Michael.
Yeah, sorry. My name is Michael Roach. I'm a civil engineer with Thomas and Hutton. And also just to touch base, I am a lead accredited professional. So I understand very well the requirements. Being in the South, it's definitely something, you know, in a coastal region, water quality, you know, preserving the character of the area, preserving the, you know, also preserving the water quality within our, you know, area streams and rivers is very important. And something that, you know, we do from a regulatory standpoint with, you know, with the advent of LEED, that's not something that a lot of areas do have to deal with, but something that, you know, having grown up here, it's something that we do deal with on a daily basis and is important to us. As far as the, you know, the impermeable versus pervious surfaces, I mean, that's something that's part of our design process. You know, the intent of the pond and that stormwater detention is to make sure that we do detain for that increase in impervious area. However, a very big, that's a water quantity component of our design. However, there is a water quality component of that design as well. And that water quality design does typically include, you know, either using the open spaces in order to be able to filter the runoff before it's discharged, the incorporation of pervious surfaces, pervious pavers, things like that, in order to be able to treat the runoff. So that's definitely something that we, you know, are very, very attuned to and, you know, work into our design. Like I said, not just from a regulatory standpoint, because it is something that the county does, will require us to provide those calculations, but also, you know, as a lead accredited professional, it's important to me as well, and as a lifelong resident of Savannah, to make sure that we do protect our area streams, creeks, everything else.
Thank you. I appreciate you addressing that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any other questions of the petitioner?
I have one question. As I look at this, this is Lucy Rich. As I look at this drawing, what is to the left of this development?
Pardon me, Ms. Hitch, did you say what was to the left of the development?
Yes.
Let me go back and show you something here. So this is the subject property highlighted here. I think you're talking about this project here.
No, the other end. Oh, no, you're right. No, you're right.
I'm sorry. I said that because I did flip it over.
Yeah.
So Highway 17 here. This is a self-storage facility.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
It does, and then the property behind the storage, that is to the top of the other side of the development.
Are you talking up here?
Yeah. Yes.
This is Maria. She waits next door. I didn't answer her phone.
Here, are you there?
Ms. Hitch,
Ms. Stone,
we're having some communication problems with your phone.
You're too close to your microphone.
I'm just concerned about the runoff in the areas adjacent to this property. I understand the storage unit, the other area, I guess that would be to the right of the single family development on this photo. Yes, that area.
Yeah, that's currently undeveloped.
Well, I see that, but we don't know what is it zoned.
Oh, I see. I'm
Marcus, are you with her? Ms. Stone, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Is this Ms. Stone?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have a question?
No, I do not.
Okay.
Ms. Hitch, this property you were asking about is currently zoned RA, residential agriculture.
Lucy, do you have any other questions?
Do not.
Okay. Now, ma'am, you had a question?
This is Diane Brannon again. So I guess my question to Thomas and Hutton, I appreciate your lead, having a lead standard to work with. This is really amazing. Keep that up. Great work. But I want to know the size of your retention pond. Do you have a size for your retention pond yet? How big is it?
Typically, we have not done the detailed design yet, but we typically reserve anywhere from 15 to 20% of the site in order to provide that detention.
But you don't know what the gallons are, for instance?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Anyway, I again request stormwater abatement program, rigorous exam of that on-site storage beyond planned capacity. Heaven forbid that we should have a 6-inch rain event, which is not uncommon during the summer. Prolonged rains and tropical storms and high tides and all that can be catastrophic. And again, I'm concerned about setting a bad precedent with even with the height variance. It's just not a good idea, in my opinion, but thank you again for your time.
Will Ms. Brannon have an opportunity during the site plan process to have a voice?
Mr. Chairman, it in some ways it depends on what the applicant comes back with in terms of a site plan. Presuming that they submit a site plan that does not require other variances, then that site plan is likely to be addressed on a staff level. And what I mean by that is once it gets submitted to Chatham County, it'll go through both the county engineer's department for review, particularly of things like stormwater, making sure they're meeting the requirements of both the county and any state regulations that apply. And then it'll also get reviewed from a site plan level for conformance with the zoning ordinance by our office. And presuming again that they don't need any variances, those things will happen on a staff level, not in a public hearing.
All right. Did you hear that, Ms. Brannon?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. You'll have to keep up with that, is what they're telling me. All right.
I have this phone number on speed dial.
Mr. Lotson, one question. You say that staff is reviewing the height ordinances at this point. Where are we with that?
Well, we are reviewing the county ordinance at large for things that we may recommend changes to the county for. Some of those, we're bringing those things to the Planning Commission periodically. And that's one of the areas that we're looking at. There was a change a couple of years ago by the county's floodplain administrator in terms of how they measure height. There was an additional, and I might have to have the architect's engineer speak to this, but there was additional footage required in terms of the freeboard measurement of where buildings have to be above the floodplain. So that's one of the reasons why we're considering changes so that the height as measured for the purpose of zoning is consistent with the county's view of it from a stormwater standpoint. But again, with all these changes that staff is reviewing for the ordinance, we'll have to bring those things to the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission will have to make a recommendation to the County Commission, and they'll ultimately make a decision. We're in that process right now.
Okay. All right. I'm not asking you to be a fortune teller or anything like that, but does it look like there will be a height increase?
I think it's probably fair to say that we might recommend a change, and then whether that change gets adopted or not, you know, yeah.
Maybe that's an improper question. You think you will recommend a change from staff?
I think we may do that, yes.
Any questions from the panel? Anyone else to speak for or against this application?
We have somebody on the line. Ms. Roach,
just
on the line.
Ms. Roach?
Yes.
This is James Corsi. I'm the chairman. You have the floor. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you, ma'am. Would you state your name and address, please?
Geraldine Roach, 1 Elk Road.
All right. Go ahead, Ms. Roach.
I'm sorry I was a little late getting on to the meeting, but my concern is the traffic at the intersection right there in front of the storage unit. I know that currently we've been out here 5 years now, and the traffic has grown with the houses that were built right across on my street. And is there any plan that you are aware of with the county looking at that in regards to putting up a red light at that intersection?
You're asking the wrong person, I believe. This is a state highway that's most likely going to be a GDOT or Georgia Department of Transportation issue.
Okay.
Mr. Lawson, can you speak to that at all?
Mr. Chairman, and just so I understand the area that's being discussed, are you talking about right in front of the storage unit?
If you go up just a little bit, it's in front of all those small green lines. That's actually there at Elk Road.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because we have we have U-turns, and I know that there was another proposal about, yes, that's it.
Okay.
There was another proposal, I believe, right across there in that green area about building another apartment complex.
So regarding the question about a stoplight, I'm afraid I can't answer that, but what I can do is I can follow up with the County Engineers Department. I believe, Mr. Chairman, this portion is a county road. And if you want to contact me after the meeting here at the MPC, I can certainly get that information for you.
Okay. I appreciate it because it's going to make a huge impact on it.
Let me also say for the record and for the caller that in the development phase of this project, should it go forward, part of the county's review does relate to traffic concerns. If under that review, they determine that traffic improvements or transportation improvements are necessary as it relates to Ogeechee Road, whether it be Axel or D-cell lanes or whatever changes they require, will be part of the development review process and will be the responsibility of the applicant to make those improvements if determined by county engineering.
Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else online?
If anyone on the call is wanting to ask a question, please use the raise your hand feature and we'll recognize you.
No one else? All right. Mr. McCorkle, I see you're standing up.
Just to respond quickly, as Mark's mentioned, this project,
our use and our density are the same whether we have this height variance or not. I mean, it ultimately, what we're not asking for a density variance, we're not asking for a use variance or a conditional use. We're really just dealing with the height, which allows us, as mentioned in the staff report, and as I mentioned, to have some architectural creativity, to have some elevators in our buildings, to have smaller footprints, more green space. All these issues as they relate to traffic, although we won't be using that particular intersection from the outside, all these issues as they relate to traffic and stormwater will all be addressed as we go through our general development plan project. We are not anticipating green space variances or any of those other kind of things. We will have to meet all the stormwater requirements and traffic requirements, as well as green space and all the other issues that you would normally do with any development. So thank you.
All right. Any other questions? Any discussion from the panel?
Mr. Chairman, this is Mr. Vineyard. I know Ms. Brannon. Been to her house a couple of times, so I certainly share her concern about the road. However, the only subject before this board is whether or not to allow the increase in height, not the other factors. Not that they are not certainly of concern, that they are not something that needs to be addressed, but not by this body. This body's sole thing in this meeting today is determine whether or not to grant the variance to 45 feet and higher, to the four stories. And to me, I'd rather have fewer buildings with four stories than more buildings with three stories, for any number of reasons. And if we look through the city, now that's not Ogeechee Road, but the city is now got 10-story buildings, which probably are, to me, a bigger concern than four-story buildings versus three-story buildings. So for my part, I don't see a problem here.
Anyone else on the board? Hearing none. Is anyone prepared to make a motion?
Mr. Chairman, in accordance with staff's recommendations, I move for approval of these two variances.
Ms. Ross made a motion. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Mr. Pelot has a second. All right. Then I'll do a roll call vote. Mr. Pelot?
Aye.
Ms. Ross?
Aye.
Mr. Vineyard?
Aye.
Ms. Stone? Ms. Stone, are you with us?
Aye. Can you hear me?
Aye. All right. Ms. Hitch?
Aye.
And the chair votes aye as well. Motion passes. Variance is granted. Mr. Lawson, do we have anything else on the agenda this morning?
That concludes our business, Mr. Chairman.
All right. If we have no other business, we are adjourned.